Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts and the insights of our hearts and our minds be pleasing to you, O God, you who are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever found yourself hankering after something? You know that your tongue hanging out for something delicious, something to tickle your palate? I have, especially in this pandemic time. And because of that hankering after, I've gained several unwanted pounds, and they're hard to take off. Moreover, the hankering after was never truly satisfying. It just left me with more hankerings after. Now, my experience is so like that mentioned in three of our scripture passages that we heard this morning. The Israelites had just experienced God's incredible, miraculous liberation of their whole community from the land of Egypt. That experience, however, did not liberate them from their lack of trust that God would provide for them in the wilderness. After moaning and groaning and complaining to Moses that they were hungry and were going to die there in that wilderness, in that desert, God gave them manna, that mysterious substance that was delivered to their very feet each day. Now, not following God's command to take only what they needed for that day, a command meant to install and to instill in them trust of God. They did not always gather what they needed, but they tried to take enough for the next day. Except for the preparation of the Sabbath, they were to gather only for that day. Well, their greedy, untrusting storage spoiled and was not edible. So much for trust. God even provided quails from heaven to satisfy them, but they just complained about other things. Poor Moses. These folks were never satisfied. Moreover, they still had a huge problem in trusting in God's provision. And the psalm tells us that God's provision of grain from heaven and the flesh raining down from the sky, and God gave the people what they craved, what they hankered after. And then we come to the gospel story. You know, Jesus had just performed the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, taking two barley loaves and five loaves of bread and the two fish, and he fed 5,000 men. That's not counting the women and the children that were with him. They even had 12 baskets left over of that bread. Can you believe that these people who just witnessed this miracle from heaven asked Jesus to perform a sign for them so that they can believe him? Jesus was the bread from heaven that God sent to these non-trusting people to help them to believe that God would provide for them. God would provide, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Jesus was the bread from heaven that would satisfy their deepest longings. These people, like us, were hankering after something that would satisfy them, that would fill them spiritually. And they, like so many of us, did not recognize that Jesus was that for which they were hankering. We human beings have two kinds of hankerings, you know, the physical and the spiritual. As God filled the Israelites with physical food, they did not realize the spiritual component of that miracle of manna and quails. And even as Jesus filled the crowds with bread and fish, they too did not realize the spiritual component of that miracle either. We too, many times, miss the spiritual message that comes to us through the physical. And I can tell you that through this whole experience of my difficult cataract surgery, it has given me a lot to think about this connection between the physical and the spiritual ways that God provides for us. I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. As I reflected on these stories, I wondered just how it is that God does provide for us and just how it is that Jesus is the bread of life. Of course, we have the sacrament of the Lord's Supper that gives us the bread from heaven. And this ritual helps us by filling us with God's grace, and this strengthens us. We take the body and blood into us physically, receiving our Lord. The physical elements contain the spiritual in a mysterious way. You know, it's so good to be able to celebrate the Lord's Supper here with you today. You know, it's been over a month since we did that together. And not only that, but today we have both elements. You know, we've been just having one for over a year, so it's just going to be a wonderful time to celebrate. Well, that being said, how is it that God is able to provide for all of God's people, and not just us here in this sanctuary or those who are listening virtually? You know, that's where this passage from Ephesians comes in. Now, when I started seminary in 1981, we were required to memorize this passage. It was the heart of who we are as God's people, and it was so necessary for us as God's ministers to learn how to go about doing our ministry. Notice the very first sentence of this passage. Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Now, Paul calls himself a prisoner in the Lord. Now, there's no escaping that this divine captor, God had him. So Paul goes on then to describe the qualities of that calling. You know, humility, gentleness, patience, love, and a sense of oneness, unity. Christ gave each of us gifts to fulfill our calling. And there are many, many different gifts, and they're all meant to make the body stronger, to grow to our full potential as servants. We are to grow into being like Christ, building each other up with love. Now, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, in that sacrament, we receive Christ into us. For what purpose? So that we can be strengthened to be that body of Christ in the world. The disciples stayed together after Jesus' death, and they were of one mind and one purpose. They were the church, the very church we have today. The church is Christ's body, Christ's hands and Christ's feet in the world. The church is Christ working to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to clothe the naked, to visit the sick and those in prison, whatever that prison may be, to liberate the oppressed. One way God's work is done is through the church. Christ's body in action, providing for the people that for which they hanker. The church does not only do this physically, but also spiritually. The church tells the story of God's great love and care for us through the love and the care that the body, the church, gives. We do that so that people can come to believe and to trust in our loving God. Now, my experience of this physical and spiritual connection in God's provision came in part from this very congregation. When I realized that I could not drive because I was seeing triple in this left eye, and I had no depth perception that I could depend upon, some of you offered to drive for me. Nancy Slingerlands drove me up to Albany, giving 6 hours of her day for my post-op visit. A week later, a member of the Methodist Church drove me back for a checkup. A month later, Diane was scheduled to drive me to have the stitches removed, but, you know, she had her own situation, her own health took priority. So a member of the Reformed Church stepped in and drove me up to Albany. Three different denominations participated in my care. This is the church in universal action. Meals and flowers were delivered, cards. Now, these physical acts are not just physical. They resulted in my peace of mind knowing that you all had my back. Then there's the spiritual part. What great love I felt, as if God had enfolded me in a loving embrace and was holding me tight. So many prayers, both here and in other places, were lifted up on my behalf. And through it all, I grew in my trust that God would provide for my needs. Not just my physical needs, but my spiritual ones as well. I do believe that we all need to grow in this matter of trusting God to give us all that we need. When we are in Christ, then Christ is in us. We receive spiritual gifts to care for one another and for the world as a whole. As a community of Christ's followers, we encourage one another and we build one another up. Now, I think that I grew several inches in stature, as well as in my waist, through this pandemic and through this cataract experience. Together, we have grown in many ways into Christ, grown in the ways of love. My friends, God is not out there only, but God is in here, in here. God is in us. We are made in God's image, a divine image, and we are equipped to do God's work here on earth. God's power and God's love is in us. God is in each one of us through the Holy Spirit, Christ's gift to us. This week, in my devotional time, I read of a man who dreamed he met himself. He shook his own hand, and he greeted himself, saying, "Hello to the Christ in you." To which himself replied, "Hello to the Christ in you." Well, you know, that dream changed his life. He finally believed that he was in Christ and Christ was in him. And what a difference that made in the way he lived. In my study of Eastern mysticism, I learned a practice that has impacted my life and has served for me as a reminder of the divine image that is in each human being. And the practice goes like this. You put your hands together and you bow, recognizing the divine in the other. And you know the other does the same to you. So I invite you to try that. Let us try that. I recognize the divine in you. live your lives knowing that God in Christ dwells in you. Trust that divine power that each one of us has, power that will satisfy both our physical and our spiritual needs, that for which we are hankering after. Live out that power as you bring the love of God to others in big and in small ways. They all count, all those ways count in building up the body. Make all your actions count in bringing life to others and to yourself. Remember the words of Jesus, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." Be the bread of life because Christ is in you. Be Christ's hands and feet so that all may be fed and that all may have their thirst quenched. Amen.